those 300 names, you put them together and they weave a tapestry of Kadividya. They spell out the Sri Vidya mantras, and they give the perfect exemplification of how the Sanskrit mantras have an esoteric teaching and an exoteric teaching, which without initiation is very difficult to understand. Do we have any questions?
What do you mean by initiation?
Initiation, there are many levels of initiation. You just had the first level. The level of initiation into the understanding of the mantras of Sri Vidya. Somebody explained it to you. That's a very important step to getting the initiation. There are 16 levels of initiation that every sannyasi will go through. And not all conferred by the same guru. It is many times necessary to, just in the same way as we graduate through our educational process, we move according to the necessities of our spiritual evolution. We gravitate towards the teachers who have the next piece of the puzzle that we need.
Swami, the two verses that discuss the mother as she who thrusts all into ignorance.
Yes.
Well, with a friend like that.
Yes. You better be friendly to her. You're a great friend. If you choose, you can be thrust into ignorance, or if you can truly, you can grab onto your friend's hand and say, Mom, please, while you're thrusting the world into ignorance, you might just let me stay here with you.
Sure. Why does she thrust into ignorance?
You'll find Mahamaya, the great measurement of existence, the great exposer of consciousness. In order to expose the consciousness creates duality. Mm-hmm. And when there's duality, there is an apprehension that I am separate from the other. And in this apprehension of separation, then that's an illusion. That's not the reality. There's a concept that I am different. And that concept, when we live and make that concept the basis of our lives, we are thrust into the ignorance of duality and attachment. So then we act in a selfish way. We act for me, without thinking what I can give to my other parts. And that's the ignorance of selfish attachment.
Yeah. So she might want the ignorance to exist in order for the duality to continue.
The mantra said, Dharma adharma hadvir ditwa atman monase srucha aham eva aham mang juhomi swaha. It says, Dharma and adharma, action and reaction, the ideals of perfection, of unity, and the separation of duality, hadvir ditwa, are both the offerings to the divine light. It's in the nature. It's inherent in the prakriti. Pra-kri-iti. Before becoming this. The nature of the nature is to express itself. And therefore the duality. If we want to dance in the duality and think only of our selfish selves, we remain bound by the illusion of egotism and attachment. If we want to give up that attachment and grab on to the lotus feet of divinity and cultivate divinity and sharing attitude and a sharing nature, then we divest ourselves of those egotistical, selfish considerations. And we begin to act in accordance with that newfound understanding. Mother says also that the devotion of a devotee, even though they don't have correct understanding, if they have pure devotion, they can arrive at the same goal, by performing their sadhana, their spiritual discipline, even though they don't understand it intellectually, they perform with pure devotion, just as our story about next time. Remember Bhakti Das. Repeated the mantra next time. Next time. Next time. And reached a state higher than the guru. We present to you.
Jan Chi into Lakin and Jalaka Chima Divine Matter says the duality says devotee ignoring. But ignorant can the deep of the antibody.
Mother says that we can taint our ignorance and transform it into a divine expression. Just through our faith. Through our activities with faith, we can transform that ignorance into a divine expression. Just like Bhakti Das did. I say, next time, believing he would get to God. In that ignorance, there's no question as to why. There's a faith and an acceptance.
Isn't it also the concept of infinity? And because there's always something more.
Ah.
And so if we feel that we have it all, then our egos get very big.
Mm.
And so if we understand the concept that there's always one more thing, then there's always the mystery, there's always the learning, there's always the openness. As
very
opposed
good.
To the concept of I have it all and you don't,
mm-hmm.
which is very dualistic.
Well, yes, there's no way to measure infinity. There's no way. As soon as we've drawn the line, we have something on the other side. Are there other questions? Yes, please.
The verses that refer to Prem, are those, like, for example, who is the bird in the tree of Prem, who is the long sword within the sheath of Prem?
Uh-huh.
Are those metaphors, or are they just trying to say that she is everything?
Well, they're also metaphors, too, and we can define every one. We can decipher every one. And we'll be here for years and years. And if Devanand and Abha have no problem, neither do I. In fact, that's just what I love to do. When we as devotees have the feeling and the understanding, the realization that it's all Mother, and we act in accordance with that understanding, then what action would Mother take towards us?
Which mother?
Any mother.
She would have Kali.
Absolutely. The Magnificent One. She ends it with one swift stroke. She's the kind one. The rest prolong the agony. Yes, please.
And in one of the names, that was she who soothes the anger of God.
Yes, Rudra. Rudra and Rudra. Rudra comes from Asru Trayate, who takes away the tears. He's a reliever of sufferings. Rudra is the one who is always angry, who expresses anger. And his anger, of course, is at the negativities that all. He's given us such a beautiful creation, and he sees how we've abused it. The negative expressions are the expressions of the anger of Rudra. And she soothes that anger. Also, Rudra is the name. Rudra is the name of Shiva, as the destroyer. So he's called angry because he's destroying or transforming. He's changing what it was, and all of us want it to stay the way we like it.
Is Rudra one?
Rudra. R A U. Rudra. So most of us say, gee, you know, Mother, I like creation just the way it is. It's familiar to me. I know what it is. Now, if you're going to change it at all, make it a little more convenient for me. But please don't take away my attachments. And if ever she says, I think it's time you're going to lose that attachment, now we say, oh, you must be angry with me.
They do it.
Yes, please.
When you say faith, you mean faith in, can you, what is faith?
Mother defined it the other day as belief in God, a firm conviction that God is your reality. And once you have that firm conviction that God is that the reality, the true reality, it God does exist for you, then you have to have faith in the scriptures and in the gurus who share the scriptures and in the lineage that comes, it brings you closer to that expression of divinity. Please.
Two things. What does the word vidya mean?
Vidya. Knowledge.
Okay. And why is and the last, the 300th line is... the supreme bliss of Maya. Why is it supreme bliss?
Well, when you know the Maya is the Divine Mother, and you know her in her three forms, you know her as the illusion which obscures the reality, you know her as the one Divine Mother in relationship to all of her children, and you know her as the one who is totally in harmony with her own self. When you see God in everything you do, you're going to be free from all attachment. So that's why she confers the supreme bliss of Maya. Because the object isn't to be free from Maya. No one is free from Maya. She's the mother. The object is to be in love with Maya and see her in all the Maya. When we're so close to the Maya and we're only thinking about our selfish interest, then we forget all about Mother. If we could see her presence in every circumstance, we would free ourselves from attachment. The supreme bliss of mind. Remember, it's not the objective is not to become free from action. The objective is to become free through action. By acting for God, we become one with that divinity. So we're not trying to justify or excuse inaction. Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita says that's impossible. I'm the Supreme Lord of all, and even still, I have to act. And if he has to act, believe it, we better too. We've got a few loose ends that we've got to clean up. So now that we know that we're going to be acting and interacting in this world of duality, what's the prudent thing to do? Remember God in every action. See the divinity inherent in every action. That's the supreme bliss of Maya.
So if we give up all attachments, does that mean we give up the attachment to the guru and to God too?
No, ultimately you become so attached to the guru that you become the guru.
Yeah.
You become so attached to God, you become God. Aham Brahmashmi. The objective is not to eliminate the ego, nor to eliminate the attachment. The objective is to expand the ego and intensify the attachment, so I'm only attached to one thing. As long as I'm attached to many things, I'm pulled in different directions. But if I'm only attached to God, then I'm in a good place.
I mean, you mentioned expanding the ego, and yet in the Chandi we read that the mother kills the ego.
Well, she doesn't really kill him. You notice that he keeps coming back in a different form.
Yes.
Yes.
But eventually she stabs him with her poke.
Yes. Even then, with the half of his body, he came out and started fighting some more. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But finally, at the end of that episode, he's killed, and the gods rejoice and sing.
Yes, they did. And who were those gods rejoicing? Yes. Here are the gods and goddesses rejoicing. Now, they have egos, too.
Ah.
Big ego.
Bigger egos. The objective is to become the biggest egotist possible. Shivoham. Shivoham. That's the great ego. This other little ego that she slays, he yields so that we can realize the greater ego. Shivoham. Shivoham. So in a sense, we don't really get rid of the ego. We just expand the ego until it becomes the ego of all existence. I am God. Yes, go ahead.
But in the gospel, or in the end of Ramakrishna's life, at least in the English translation, he said something according to, I am God, but not according to your Vedanta. He said that to Vivekananda. Is that a correct translation, or was that just kind of thrown in there? What did it mean?
It meant, I am God, but not according to Vedanta, means I am the God of Tantra. I am the divinity that's in relationship with the entire creation. I realize myself as immanent and transcendent. I am not only the God of the transcendent God of Vedanta. And this is not all illusion. This is the real world. Maya means the measurement of reality. And I am the God who acts and interacts with duality. I am the God, but not the God of Vedanta. Yes, please.
Just going back to the concept of infinity and in relationship to measurement and the Maya of measurement.
Yes.
It seems like, you know, we experience the measurement in the daily world through our experience of Maya, and there's even progression, and we're all involved with practices to evolve within the measurement, to experience the measurement. But without the experience of the infinite, which is beyond time, and it's sort of the residence of the deity, you know, without this direct experience, then we don't have the full sense of the measurement, you know. And so, and it's almost like, you know, we're in the measurement, experiencing that, but it's almost like we're still an illusion until we have the experience outside of that. So I guess, and it seems like, you know, the process of evolving, I mean, somebody mentioned, you know, it's infinite and there's infinite progression, but, you know, infinity is beyond a progression. It's just one, it's a unity. And so, you know, it's kind of funny, it's like we're progressing in measurement, but, you know, it's I guess we're really just trying to establish a contact with the infinite so we can, I mean, does this sound... So I'm
right
on the right track, or is this?
Oh, you're on the right track. You're definitely on the right track. You're in the right place at the right time. Doing the right thing.
It was just interesting to think that.
Absolutely. Because the Maya of Vedanta is the measurement of the infinite, which means she has no limit.
Sure. And she's always referred to as the mother who's beyond time. So she's there.
And here at the same time.
Body to experience the supreme bliss, I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you.